looking into my heart, into my heart. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. Yeah. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song.
Every creature great and small. lift your voice, worthy unto you, glory, Lord, glory in the highest, for you are Lord, glory unto you.
To do this one again, because we're just now getting into worship. It took us about five songs and we finally started worshiping God this morning. Six more minutes. Let's worship Jesus. Just close your eyes, get your mind off of what's going on in the world, what's going on in your life, and just give Jesus a whole 6 minutes of just worship him, because he is worthy of all honor and glory and wisdom and power. It all belongs to him. Amen. Let's do it again one more time.
Falling down before your throne, when the mighty anthem rings, under you alone, there is no greater God than our King. There is no for you are holy, Lord, you are worthy unto you, glory in the highest, for you are holy, Lord, you are worthy unto you. Of this world will surrender to you, God. Oh, forever you will stand, the brain victorious. Thank you.
your voice.
Worthy unto you, glory, Lord.
Glory
in the highest, for you are.
Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. We praise you today. We exalt you today. We thank you today, Lord. We love you today. We thank you, Jesus, that you died on that cross and you rose from the dead, that you are alive forevermore and you have the keys of hell and death. We thank you that your blood is the only thing that washes away sin, and you are the only one that can give eternal life. And we love you and we worship you, and we just thank you that, Lord, we love you because you first loved us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for your power and for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this Bible, Lord, where you moved upon holy men, Lord, and they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, Lord. They didn't just write their own thoughts. We thank you, Lord, that all Scripture is inspired by you and is profitable for doctrine. Lord, we thank you that you didn't leave us alone in this world. You gave us your word, and you gave us your Holy Spirit. And we thank you today that you are with us. Lord, you promised you would live and dwell in your people. And we thank you for that. And we know, too, Lord, the day is coming soon that you will come back to this earth. Physically return to set up your kingdom. And we thank you for that, too. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. That song right there is by Roy Fields. He's a friend of mine. And he told me one day that he was just playing his keyboard, and he began to hear what they were singing in heaven, and he just played along with them. And these are the words he heard, and this was the music he heard, and I want to tell you what, that brother is anointed. Man, he's anointed to lead some worship. I tell you what, if people keep saying, I need to quit saying if, when I become governor, I'm going to invite Roy to do a worship service at the inauguration. We're going to do things a little differently. Amen. Hallelujah. Just want to say this. I'm just going to go with the flow today. I do have some scriptures we're going to get into. I don't even know how many messages, comments I received. It was over 600 last time I looked. People praying, saying they were praying, and sorry for the loss of my sister, and condolences and encouragement, and I just can't say thank you enough to everybody who, you know, cares about us and prayed for us and took time to encourage and all that. So, because it was rough until I could just feel it, though. I feel much better this week. I will say this, you know, I shared last week how that my sister over the years had on and off drug problem. I didn't share this last week because I didn't want to accept it, and I wanted to pray and believe for a miracle. But when I was in the ICU with her that night, on Friday night, and I prayed for her, and I laid hands on her, and I prayed for a miracle, and I've seen miracles. So I fully expected that if the Lord so wills, he would do a miracle right there and bring her back. You know, I've seen the dead raised and the crippled walk and the deaf hear and final stages of cancer disappear. And I know Jesus is still the healer. But after I prayed for my sister, and my brother and I were praying for her, and after we'd prayed for a while, I turned and walked away toward the counter, and I heard the Lord say to me, it is her time. And I didn't want to hear that, okay? I don't know. Sometimes, you know, you can say, well, the Lord speaks to you. You just accept that. No, Sometimes you just go, I don't think so. I don't really want to hear that right now. But I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything to anybody about it. I didn't say that. And I found out last night, my brother called me. We were talking. And he said that, you know, my brother's a real intercessor. It's probably one of his gift is to be a prayer warrior and an intercessor. And he said over, you know, the last few years that he had been praying, you know, we both have prayed for my sister to get free from her drug addiction and get her life right with God, because she was on fire for Jesus when she was a teenager. She just went the wrong direction as she got older. But again, she would go back and forth and back and forth, as many people who struggle with drugs and alcohol do. But my brother and I have been praying for her for years. And my brother said that more recently, and when he would be in prayer for her, his prayer would come out. And he said he'd be in Holy Spirit-led prayer, you know, weeping and intercession for her. And then he would hear come out of his mouth, "Lord, even if you have to take her, if she gets her life right with you, even if you have to take her so that she won't go back to the drugs, so she'll make it to heaven, I want you to do that." And so he called me yesterday and said that even though we had not had a lot of contact with Jennifer over the last few months, we both felt the same thing in the spirit, that she had been doing better. And that, and so I'm just saying, I believe, and my brother believes, that she did give her life back to the Lord, that she did get ready, that she was doing better before this hit her, and that the Lord allowed this so that she could make it, that he answered. In fact, what the Lord told my brother was, "I answered your prayer." Okay? And so I don't say this is going to happen for everybody. This is what you need to hear what I'm saying. We can't play games with God forever. There's a lot of people who get on drugs and alcohol. They get themselves addicted, and then, you know, they die. And they die high, or they die drunk, or they die, you know, running their car into a tree, or an overdose, or whatever. And they don't get the chance, and they didn't take the time to get their life right. So this is not a game you play with God. So I'm not sharing this story to go make it sound like, oh, everybody who struggles with drug addiction or alcohol addiction or whatever is going to make it. This was just a unique situation. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I wasn't sure for a while, you know, last week, and did my sister make it? You know, around here, and according to the scriptures, we don't believe you're once saved, always saved, no matter how you live. The Bible says, be sober. A drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's Galatians 5, right? And so it's a serious matter. And that's why, listen, I'll tell you this much. People listening, I had comments on YouTube and stuff. People listening last week thanked me for talking about the drug and the alcohol addiction problem. Because, look, I know once you get to the addiction part, it's not easy. Believe me, I've counseled and ministered to and taken people through deliverance and done all this stuff for people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol over the years, and I've seen them rock back and forth, struggle, get free for a while. I have one of my best friends in high school. You know, this was back in the late 80s and in the early 90s. This guy got on crack, and, man, you talk about, I mean, he stole my car. I tell him, "Ray, I've already called the police, so you better bring my car back." That's all I got to tell you. I mean, this guy was, I loved him. I loved Ray. Ray was one of my best friends. And he finally went to the Teen Challenge rehab, you know, the David Wilkerson rehab up in Huntsville. And this was back in the early 90s. Or mid-90s, and, you know, he had to stay there for a year, and he broke the stronghold. He broke the addiction. He broke the habit. And sometimes, too, you got to just get yourself away from the same people and the same places, and, you know, and he broke it. And let me tell you something. Ray got on fire for Jesus, got filled with the Holy Spirit. That guy talked about Jesus everywhere you go. We started praying together. He did good for 3 years. God gave him a business. He was making a killing in a contracting business he started in Gulf Shores. He was married. He had a beautiful little baby girl. And then he went back. He went back to the ground after 3 years free. And lost everything. Lost his business. Lost his marriage. Ended up robbing Steinmart in Montgomery with a plastic gun. And it was my judge friend that sentenced him to prison. And he went to prison for a long time. Prison, though, helped him break the habit again, as it will do for some people. But let me just say this. When it comes to this, alcohol and drug addiction, and I don't care if it's illegal drugs or prescription drugs or whatever it is, you got to want freedom. You have to understand that what this thing, this addiction is trying to do is trying to separate you from God forever. That's why Satan pushes it so hard. All right? And you got to go to war with this thing. If you have an addiction problem, drugs, alcohol, I don't care. Some of the people, it's pornography and lust and sexual immorality. You better decide that you're going to do whatever it takes to break that addiction and get free. And I can tell you this, the people who make up their mind, this is over. I'm done with this. And they really go after Jesus 100%. See, the good thing is if you will truly go 100% and do whatever it takes, the Lord will help you. But he knows, the Lord also knows if you're lying. If you're only trying to get people to think you're going to get free. He also knows if you're sneaking it behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? He knows if your heart's not 100%. Exactly right. You got to be serious. And we watch people. We have people in here, in this church, that were drug addicts, drug dealers. And they're free. And they're free. Wasn't easy. But they got free. Amen. So it's possible. Now, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 57. And this is actually something I probably never talked about in church. But somebody reminded me of a prophetic word that I gave a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago. People do that to me because I forget sometimes even what I've preached. There's so many now, there's just hundreds and hundreds of sermons just in this church in the last 12 years. And sometimes I forget, but they reminded me that I spoke a word that some of us are going to be losing some people close to us. And sure enough, it happened to me. But see, I think there's some other things going on. As much as I believe in miracles, and I believe God's going to do some great miracles in these last days, there's this scripture here. This is Isaiah 57. And we're going to read verse 1 and 2. He said, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness." So what he's saying here is that as you get to an evil time, sometimes God allows the righteous and the merciful, that he knows maybe they won't do well in the evil time that's ahead. And so he allows them to be taken, to go on. Not, this is not a rapture. This is they die. They perish. And I'm beginning to see some of this. And I honestly think there are people out there, you know, we're about to enter into the Great Tribulation. And there's some people out there that have struggled in their lives. And maybe some of them have even been abused and they are just weak, and you know they've been beaten up so much by this world that God's going to allow them to pass away because they wouldn't make it in the evil time. They wouldn't be able to stand. It's his mercy. So don't be surprised in the days ahead if there are people that go on, because some of them, they need to. And I'm talking about righteous people. I'm talking about godly people, Christian people, because God's going to not allow them to go through what's coming, because what's coming is going to be bad, y'all. The storm clouds are gathering upon the horizon. It keeps getting worse and worse. The evil men, you know, the book of the Second Timothy, it was the Second Timothy chapter 3. It says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That is happening. Evil men and these evil situations, these evil plots are getting worse and worse and worse. You know, when we just think about what has been allowed to happen over this last year. I mean, we've watched evil men and women allow hundreds of thousands, millions of people die that didn't have to die. We're watching another like Holocaust happen. And this is just the tip of the end time iceberg. The Bible talks about a war coming that's going to kill one third of mankind. One third of mankind. You think that that's going to be easy to live through? We have a time coming where it says Christians are going to be beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus Christ and their holding on to the Word of God and the truth. I think about what's happening in China. In China, they're just putting Christians and even other religious people on trains and sending them to concentration camps. This is happening right now. We're watching what happened pre-World War II and during World War II with Nazi Germany. We're watching it happen, that the Chinese are doing it right now. And then people in America still doing business with the Chinese, making them rich. Oh, yes, and China's getting ready to invade America. I spoke at Jackson County Republican Party meeting the other night. That day, I heard about a Chinese general that just bought 130,000 acres of land, 200 square miles, in Texas, 10 miles away from one of our largest Air Force bases, from McLaughlin Air Force Base, and built a 10,000-foot airstrip in Texas. Yeah, let me tell you something. Abbott and the boys in Texas are traitors. I have heard a rumor, which is a good rumor, that Lieutenant Colonel Allen West is going to run for governor of Texas. Now, that's the one they need. If he becomes governor, he'll fix those problems. You know, he's the one that got in trouble for protecting his troops in Iraq, because he don't play games. I like Colonel West. But the Chinese are buying up land, property, businesses. I've heard the reports. They're at Harvard. They're at Georgia Tech. They're stealing our intellectual property. They're stealing our inventions, our ideas, our technology, left and right. Trump and Pompeo were trying to warn us about how bad it is. That's why they shut down the Chinese consulate in Houston, which it's interesting that our governor was on the phone with that Chinese consulate general saying how wonderful and how ready she was to work with him. Right after that, Trump basically has to throw them out of the country. This tells you how bad it is. You know, on the list of governors that are the most favored by China, is Kay Ivey's number one. Number one. Because they're doing what they're doing in Texas, they're doing here. Right? But China is taking over. They're buying. We're finding out, too, these Illuminati companies like Vanguard Group and BlackRock. They're buying up all the houses, paying more for them than the market value, so that young couples and middle-class families can't own homes, just be renters. Because the number one way you build wealth is to own your own home and build equity and not throw your money away with renting. They're changing. Listen, this whole Great Reset thing, they're fundamentally changing the world's economy as we sit here and think it's going to go on forever like it is. They're talking about a digital dollar now. Now, we were told in the Bible the day would come and that it would be of the Antichrist, of the devil, of Satan, that no man would be able to buy or sell unless they took the mark of the beast, something implanted in their hand or their forehead. My wife just sent me an article, Yahoo article. When did you send it, last night or this morning? This morning, hospital. Is it Texas again? Let me see right here. Houston, Texas. First federal ruling. The first federal ruling on vaccine mandates. Judge sides with Houston hospital, dismissing claims from staff resistors. Basically, those who refuse the COVID-19 vaccination are going to be fired. And the federal court's upholding that. What do you think's happening? Senator, I just watched Senator, what is his name? Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Republican, just had his YouTube channel suspended, talking about the therapeutics. We're living in an age now that you can't even speak something contrary or different than the world's view on something. I mean, it's starting to feel like we live in China. So they're just not rounding people up yet. Churches are not having to meet in secret. But it's coming. You think it won't come to America? Look, I've been told that the Chinese Communist Party, we're not talking about the Chinese people. You know, the Chinese probably have 100 million plus Christians in the country. I mean, think about that. I don't even know. That's an old number, 100 million. It's probably much more than that now. But the Chinese Communist Party, how many of you know recently, even in the mainstream media even announced this, that the Chinese Communist Party said we're ready to go to nuclear war with the United States? We found out from our Canadian friends that the Chinese Communist Party owns Canada. They've bought up all the mortgages. They own the land. They've bought areas to have military bases. Yeah. They're training. They've been training in Canada, and Trudeau knows about it. They've been training Chinese troops. Why do you think they're training in Canada? Let's see. Where would they be going in Canada after they leave, finish their training in Canada? Greenland. Yeah. New Zealand. You know, the Lord told me years ago, some of y'all remember this. The Lord told me we would be invaded by China. Ground troops will invade the United States. And yes, thank God, we have people like this and me and others as the Japanese Admiral Yamamoto said before. It said when they were thinking about invading in World War II, Japan with ground forces, and he said, probably not a good idea. There's a rifle behind every blade of grass in America. You'll be fighting not just America's army, but America's people. And so, yeah, there'll be a, it's going to get intense. But this is where we're headed. And some people are going to be able to handle it and some aren't. And so for some, God's going to be merciful. I think about, too, you know, the Lord, I think he wants to keep us from, some people from falling away. He loves them that much. He wants to keep them. I think about Hezekiah. If you go back to Isaiah and the and Kings and Chronicles, it talks about Hezekiah. Remember, Hezekiah was told, get your affairs in order. You're going to die. Right? Oh, Hezekiah didn't want to die. And so he would just turn his face to the wall and cried out, oh, you know, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want to die. Da, 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 da. Isaiah comes back in, tells him, the Lord's added 15 more years to your life. But let me tell you what happened in those 15 years. He had a son named Manasseh who became the most evil, wicked king that Israel ever had. He defiled the temple. He brought in idolatry and human sacrifice and all kind of witchcraft and paganism. And I believe God was trying to take Hezekiah out so that, you know, Hezekiah was called one of the most righteous kings that ever lived. He said he was even, get this, he was more righteous than David, is what it says. He was more righteous than his father David. And God was trying to save him from producing this evil child and also not getting in pride. Remember, he got in pride. So instead of going out with a wonderful testimony and legacy, he got 15 more years of life, but was it worth it? Was it worth it for the people of Israel? No, because Manasseh brought judgment upon them, brought God's wrath upon them. So I'm just saying all this to say, you know what? Sometimes there's some folks, it's time to go, and they need to go. Or things are going to be worse. And see, we can't determine that because, you know what? We don't know the future. Only God knows the future. So if he knows what's going to happen, we can trust him. And you know what? If God looked at my sister's life and saw that she was doing better and she had gotten herself back where she needed to be with him, and he looked down in the future and saw that she would fall away and go back to the drugs, and he decided to allow her to die at this time, I'm good with that. Because you know what? I'd rather spend eternity with my sister, miss a little time here and now, but get to spend eternity with her. You know, I'll get to see her again that way. And can I just say this? Look, folks, you need to understand something. Do not let any sin, lust, or any other thing in this world steal that from you. Steal eternal life with Jesus and the brothers and sisters, the true brothers and sisters in Christ that have already gone before us. I hate the thought, even if there wasn't a hell, but I just couldn't go to see my mom, my grandmother, my great aunts, my friends. Is it really worth sexual sin to keep living in sexual sin and not go to heaven? Is it really worth to keep doing a drug or alcohol, keep getting drunk? Is it really worth it? I mean, really what we're doing, you know, the story of Esau. The Bible talks about Esau sold his birthright from one morsel of meat, one little bowl of pottage because he was hungry. He sold his birthright. But that's a picture of us. We sell our relationship with God, our relationship with the Lord Jesus, our salvation. We're so willing to trade that from some little pleasure of the flesh. It's absolutely ridiculous what we will sell out for. Some maybe money or fame or power, but usually it's some sexual sin or some high or some drug or some drunken party or something. And we're willing to sell our relationship with Jesus and sell out our eternity for something so fleeting and empty. Look, one thing I know in my teenage years, that all the sex and the drugs and the partying that I did, every time I woke up in the morning after, I was depressed and there was darkness over me. Which is why a lot of times I went right back to drinking early in the morning. All that, I remember that all it told me was, you know what? This is death. This is empty. This does not make you happy. I was the most miserable person. But you know how I covered that up? A 12-pack. Or sometimes an 18-pack. And then I wake up the next day still depressed. Still in darkness. Every time I did a drug, I remember the first time I did marijuana. Oh, yeah, fun. It's high, I'm high, woo. The wacky weed. The Maui Wowie. The next morning, I could feel the new demon that was with me. I remember trying cocaine. You know, it was the 80s. You're sniffing it then, snorting it, right? Woo, high all night that night. Wake up the next morning, a whole new darkness was on me. Same thing with mushrooms, LSD. I began to realize something. I know why people get addicted. I never got addicted, thank God, to drugs. But I know why people do it, because you know what? The darkness and the demons that come in, yes, and possess you when you do drugs, those demons that come in make you feel horrible until you do it again. Until you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. And it's a vicious cycle. And the only way to get free is first you're going to have to make up your mind to repent of sin. But then you're going to have to get the demons cast out of you. Oh, yes. That's why we're doing this deliverance seminar on August 7th. Because there's still some folks that need some demons cast out of them. And yes, some Christians, a whole lot of Christians have demonic strongholds in them. Oh, Pastor Dean, demons and the Holy Spirit can't dwell in the same place at the same time. Where you get that from? Where you get that from? I remember the throne of God. Are they talking about Job and Satan appears up there? Wait a minute, how does Satan stand before the throne of God in heaven? How's he allowed in? I thought the devil and the Holy Spirit couldn't be in the same place at the same time. Stop with your stupid theology. Read the Bible. You can open a door. Can a Christian sin? If a Christian can sin, a Christian can open a door to a demon. Because guess what? Sin opens the door to demons. Sexual sin, occult sin, witchcraft, drugs, alcohol. These things open doors to demons, and they come in and they build their strongholds. And the more doors you open, the more come in. Look, everybody thinks I talk about somebody having a demon, and you think about Linda Blair's head spinning around and the pea soup coming out of her mouth from the movie Exorcist, but that's not the way it is. It starts out very gradual. You are a temple. You have a spirit, a soul, and a body. You have many rooms in your house, in your temple, and demons come in, and they get a little foothold in the room. It doesn't mean they control your whole body, but the more you keep sinning and rebelling and disobeying God, the more doors you keep opening. You just keep inviting more of them in until finally that you can get to the point where your head's spinning around and pea soup's flying out of your mouth, because I've seen it. And Christians can do that, because Christians can sin as much as they want. I mean, I know Christians commit adultery, fornication, take drugs. You think that you think because you're a Christian and you're sinning that you're not opening the doorway for demonic strongholds to come in you? You better think again. You can have, as a Christian, you can have whatever you want. I can just tell you right now, bad doctrine, bad theology has kept a lot of people bound up and addicted, and they sit in churches bound up and addicted. We're just not going to allow it around here. We're going to show you how to get free. If you want to get free, you'll get free. If you want to stay in sin and stay full of demons, You will eventually leave this church because the demons will in you will be uncomfortable. So if you don't get rid of them, they're going to drag you on out. That's just, I've watched it for years. Years and years and years. I always know, too, sometimes people get close to getting to going through deliverance, getting the demons cast out of them. And sure enough, poof, they're gone. They disappear. What happened to them? Oh, and demons in them knew they were about to get cast out, so they drug them out of here as fast as they could. That's why people, look, I get around some people, they don't like me, and they never met me. They don't even know anything about me. They don't like me. You know why? Because they have demons in them, and the demons know that I can cast them out. And so the demons in there are like, oh, this guy's a bad guy. Get away from him. And they think it's them, but it's the demons in them going, I hate this guy. I remember one time I went to, the Lord told me to go to Texas. This is an interesting story. The Lord told me to go to Texas. You know, when the Lord said, just go to Texas, drive to Alabama, from Alabama to Texas. Told me, go to the church, this big church, it was about a 12,000 member church at the time. Go to this church and sit right slap in the middle of it. All right? So I was like, okay. So I drove all the way to Texas. I had no idea why. I was driving to Texas. I knew what church to go to, and it was 8,000 seat sanctuary. So I got there early and went sit right in the middle. So boom. Before anybody got there, I mean, I was one of the first ones there. Sat right in the middle. Next thing I know, this guy came in. Now, before I got there, I will say this. An elder of a church here in town, a long time ago, laid hands on me and gave me a word of prophecy. He said, you're going to meet a man that says these words, prayer partner and a friend. He's going to say those words out of his mouth. So I sit down in the middle of that church, still not knowing why I'm there. This man and his wife walk in, sit down. So we're early, so we're waiting for church service to start, and this man's talking. Come to find out, he's a medical doctor, but he's also been a pastor, pastored churches, but he wasn't pastoring then. And all of a sudden, he starts talking about this guy that was his prayer partner and friend. I was like, well, Lord, okay, so this is the dude I'm supposed to meet. So service begins. During the service, I'm saying, okay, Lord, well, I don't know why I'm supposed to meet this man. I said, but if I'm supposed to meet this man, Lord, let him and his wife ask me over for lunch after church. So sure enough, service ended. He leans over and said, my wife and I'd like to have you come over for lunch. Okay. So I drive all the way from East Dallas around to North Dallas and go to this man's house, and we have lunch, and I'm just sitting here going, while I'm talking, I'm like, okay, why am I here? Right? And the wife gets up after we eat lunch. She says, well, I got to run to the store. I'll be right back. And here's where it came in. Here's this Baptist pastor, medical doctor. His wife leaves. He begins to confess that he is trying to commit suicide. Why was he wanting to kill himself? He said, he tells me the whole story. I was molested by my uncle during the time I was 5 and 6 years old. I have struggled with sexual urges that I can't control. I pastored a church. He said, I used to get up and preach, and the anointing of God would come on me, and people would get saved. He said, but I would have these overwhelming urges that I could not control, these just sexual urges. And he said, these, because I did everything. I would pray, I would fast, and it would never leave. It wouldn't change. And he said, I ended up in a homosexual relationship with the youth pastor at the church. You want to talk about a scandal? And he said, I know I'm saved, but I feel like something is controlling me. And I just looked at him and I said, well, the Lord sent me here to tell you that you're full of demons and that you need the demons cast out of you. And I laid my hands on his head and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the demons that came in through the sexual abuse I bind the spirits of perversion and whoredoms and lust and abuse and rape. I bind these demons. I break your power. I tear down your strongholds. I command you to go from him in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, he jumped up, ran to the bathroom, threw up several times, came back and was like, wow, I feel better. I said, well, we're not done yet. We repeated this four more times, going through different areas and different demons I perceived he had. And he would run to the bathroom and throw his guts up. Let me tell you, he came out of that like, I've never seen anybody more happy. He's like, I'm free. He's like, I've never felt like this. I haven't felt like this since I was a child. I have the peace of God again. I feel his presence again. He went to church that Tuesday. I stayed in town and I went to church with him. And he was like, I haven't been able to enjoy worship or church in years. It's just been a torment, misery to me. He said, I've been so miserable and depressed. He said, I just wanted to drive my car into a tree or off a cliff. He said, I almost did several times. I almost killed myself several times. Now, so I went to Texas that time. So I cast demons out of this. It was powerful. I cast demons out of a Baptist preacher. It did happen. You know, I found out later that man was going all over Texas testifying in churches about deliverance. It was powerful. But here's what I'm telling you, why I'm telling you that. So I come back to Alabama. I'm here for about another year, and the Lord says, I want you to go back to Texas. Why do I got to go back to Texas? Doesn't tell me why. So I go back to the same church. End up meeting up with the guy that led worship for the Spanish church, because this church was huge. This church on the Rock in Rockwall, Texas back then. It was massive church. So I started hanging out with the worship leader and the pastor of the Spanish church. And so the worship leader said, there's a guy I want you to meet. He's got issues. I said, okay. So we go to some big high-rise in Dallas apartment complex. Guy I'd never met before. Demon possessed. When we knock on the door, he opens the door. The guy, he knows the worship pastor, but he never looks at him. He looks straight at me. He leans into my face. He goes, you've been here before. And I was like, yes, I've been here before to cast out. It was the demons talking through him. You've been here before. I was like, yeah, we're about to get you too. Now, here's a little different story. That gentleman, he was involved in homosexuality. He was involved in all kinds of sexual immorality and perversion and drugs and alcohol, but he called himself a Christian. And this guy was like an electronic genius, and he was actually, come to find out, he was building bombs and stuff. He wanted to mass murder people. This is how demon-possessed he was. So I go to, we go back later on another day to his apartment, and he sits down at the table. I'm sitting across from him, and that's when his whole face changes. Oh, you can see the demons. They'll take over, and they start talking. And they start talking to you like that. You're like, okay, here we go. And they start talking to you and just, and they were doing like this. They were like I was blind because the light coming out of me. They were like, they were just like, just cursing, just foul stuff. Like, shut up. So I started commanding the demons to come out of him. I am not joking. He was sitting in a chair. The chair picked up off the ground and flew past where Olivia's sitting, across the entire living room. Had to go pick him up, bring him back, set him back in the chair, tell the demons to stop that behavior. And sure enough, we come to find out, though, the guy didn't want to give up his sin. He didn't want to repent. He didn't want to change. So guess what? I had to leave him just the way he was. Now I pray. The guy gave his life to the Lord, repented of his sin, got right, got the sin out of his life. But I don't know if he did or not. But you hear what I'm saying. Some people are going to listen and change, and some are not. I'm trying to tell you, folks, you got to stop the sin. You got to stop the sin, repent, and you got to get rid of the demons. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like I have demons. Let me tell you something. If you've been involved in sexual sin, drugs, alcohol abuse, any kind of new age or occult activity, I don't care, just playing with a Ouija board, you've opened the door to demons. Now, they may not be totally controlling your life, but let me just go and tell you right now, you don't want one in any room of your house because they're there to kill you. They're there to cause you problems. When I was a youth pastor in a church one time early on, I remember telling the youth group, we went from 20 to 60 in 2 months. God was moving. We were having a revival, man. And I remember telling that youth group, back then, playing with the Ouija board was a big thing. And I would tell those kids, do not play with the Ouija board. It is a device of divination. It's witchcraft. It is sorcery. Do not touch it. Do not play with it. You're conjuring spirits when you do. And like always, some teenagers listen and some don't. And what happened? This one little girl, remember her name was, well, we won't say her name. She may still be around here. We'll just call her Jane. 15 years old, little thing. One Wednesday night, I find out, you know, she's going to spend the night with, you know, had a sleepover party with some of her friends. And what'd they do? Play with the Ouija board. She comes to church. What happens? I'm in the church service on Wednesday night, and a bunch of the youth group, they come running in there. They said, Jane is flipping out, man. She's freaking out. You got to come in here. I go in there. She's in the corner of the chapel area. Her eyes have changed. It looked like cat's eyes. She's growling and hissing, and this male voice is coming out of her. And I was like, okay, so what happened? And she's over there. I mean, I'm talking about the full-blown thing. And they said, she went to a party and played with the Ouija board. So, you know, I had to preach for a minute. You know, I just went off. I told y'all, you know, just went off for a few minutes. And so two of the big guys, the football players in the youth group, the high school football players, were trying to hold her, tried to grab her and hold her, and she slung them one this way and one that way like they were rag dolls. I said, don't touch her. And I walked over there and started binding the demons in her. I bound the demons of divination, familiar spirits, witchcraft, demons from the Ouija board. Started binding them in Jesus' name, commanding them to come out of her. And boy, they did. It was dramatic. There was one. It was about 7 demons that came out of her. And she came back to normal. It was fine. And you want to talk about a youth group that was freaked out. They were freaked out, and I, again, set them down and yelled at them for a while. I told y'all to stop doing this stuff. But these were Christian kids. They were Christians. I knew they were born again and loved Jesus because I'd led most of them to Jesus. I'd seen the change in their life, but they wouldn't listen. You can't play these games. So that's why we're doing the deliverance thing. Some people are hard-headed, and they're not going to get free because they don't want to. I'm trying to tell you, you need to do, if you haven't done this, if you haven't been through deliverance, what I'm talking about, you need to start making preparations now. It may be just a little bit you need. Some people, it's a lot. But whether you need a little bit or a lot, it'll change your life, change my life. I wouldn't be here, y'all. You have to understand, what I went through as a kid, and then all my sin in my teenage years, whoo, I played with Ouija boards and divination tools like pendulums and, oh, man, you talking about water witching. They could take my ring and go bury it out in the grass out there somewhere in the yard, and I could be in here. I could take those divining rods and find my ring. That's how good I was with it. Yeah, divination. It works. You know why? Because demons help you do it all. And there's people right now, oh, Lord, they need deliverance. And drugs and alcohol, that's why the Bible calls drugs pharmakeia. Pharmakeia, sorcery. It'll open the door to demons. You say, well, Pastor Dean, that just doesn't fit my theology. Well, I don't care. Your theology needs to change. Your theology needs to get in line with the Bible. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit's gone out of man, he walks through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. Then he saith, the spirit saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. What was Jesus teaching there? Obviously, he gave the illustration of a man who got the demons cast out of him, but his house was empty. He didn't have Jesus. He didn't have the Holy Spirit in there. And because his house was empty, the demons were able to come back and bring seven more, and the man was worse than he was beforehand. You don't cast demons out of unsaved people. Who told you that? Where'd you get that from? You didn't get it from this book. And yet Jesus was casting demons out of people all the time. Who is he casting demons out of? Well, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm only sent to the people of God. I'm not sent to the unsaved. I'm sent to those in blood covenant. That's why he said deliverance in Matthew 15, deliverance is the children's bread. It doesn't belong to the unsaved. Now, I didn't plan on getting on this, but I must need to this morning. This is probably getting somebody ready to actually need to come to the deliverance seminar. But this is serious. We've got to repent of the sin and get rid of the demons. And live for Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because we're entering into a time that's going to be, the deception now is unbelievable, and it's only going to get worse. I had a call from one of our friends. Nancy and I talked to her this week up north. And they've been listening to our ministry, and we've counseled them and been, you know, we've been friends with them for, oh, goodness, probably going back 2010 or 9 or 10, way back then. And, but she's just, you know, this sweet, like, she's just in the Word. She just loves the truth of God's Word. Well, she was going to a church in her state, her city, and she just started telling us how the pastor basically, every truth she brought forth and talked about with him just started mocking her. And I was like, wow. Just mocking everything. And she would give him scripture after scripture after scripture, and he would just reject it and mock her. But isn't it interesting? She said this same church was like opening the doors and teaching stuff from Rob Bell. No Hell Rob Bell. The emerging church yoga teaching pastor. Teaching all kinds of the Eastern meditation and religion, Buddhism and Hinduism and the whole New Age mix. And I'm sitting there going, wow. He mocks the true Christian giving him scripture while he leads his church into total deception and demonic possession. And this is a normal mainstream church, y'all. And it's happening faster than you can believe. This falling away. And the deception going on, look, the deception going on in the world system, the health system, the political system, the economic system, it's all flipping to become the Antichrist beast system. And you are not welcome unless you comply. So you better make up your mind. It's going to be Jesus. And listen to me. It's not just going to be Jesus or my sin, but it's going to be, am I willing to lose everything to follow Jesus? Am I willing to lose my job or my money or whatever? Am I willing to lose my life in this world to gain the next? Remember Jesus said, you can't love your life in this world. Any man loves his life now, loves it, trying to keep it, trying to hold on to everything. He said, that man's going to lose it. He's going to lose everything. He's going to lose eternal life. Look, it's coming down to the point where Christians are going to have to decide, I'm willing to lose everything to keep hold of Jesus, even if they kill me. Even if they put me in prison or kill me, I'm willing to do that. I will not compromise. I will not back away. I will not give in to their system. Remember, part of our calling is the fellowship of his sufferings. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. And that goes on to say, if they've beaten me, they will beat you. If they've imprisoned me, they will imprison you. If they've killed me, they will kill you. Just simply for being a Christian and saying no to their system and their agenda and their plans. And the mark of the beast is coming so fast, you guys. That's really the final thing. Look at this. When we're going to read one more passage, I'm going to quit. Because this is going to be a short message because worship went long. So I'm really behind. I'm really giving you a short one. Go to Revelation 14. Here's a verse that gets overlooked. Now we're going to start at verse 9. This is familiar, but we're going to read on down to something else that we forget, because we are living in this time. This is upon us. It will be here very soon. Revelation 14, talking about the mark of the beast. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, that is also, that's the governmental system, the world governmental system, and the Antichrist who will lead it. If anyone worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. Look at verse 13 clearly here. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Blessed are the dead. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from this point on. Think about that right there. What is he saying? That's how bad it's going to be when this mark of the beast thing is going on. This last 3.5 years before Jesus returns. And I'm not sure exactly when it's going to start, but it's getting really close. And he says here, blessed are those who are dead, meaning, oh, God, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Can I just say this? If you die, die in the Lord. You're either going to die in the Lord Jesus or you're going to die in your sins. You understand? There's no in between. You better not take a chance. You better make sure you are in Jesus and he is in you. You're abiding in him and he's abiding in you, and you hate sin and you love God. But he said there's going to get a point in this end time that blessed are those who die in the Lord at this point, because it's going to be so bad. Now, may not be bad for those who worship the beast, take their mark and their, you know, I can't say it or my channel's gone. But just do sign language. Let's see if AI can read that. That's so funny. When I played baseball, my coach had all his signs, you know, and I told him, I said, I don't care about your signs, coach. If I get on first base, I'm stealing second, I'm stealing third. Oh, you know, folks, none of this should be a surprise. Jesus said, the day will come. This is, you know, John, put it up for me. John 16:2. Think about this. The day will come that those who will kill you will think they are doing God a service. You anti. Now let's read. Well, let's read verse 1 and 2 there. Isn't it verse 1? These things I've spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Keep going. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. This God here, he's talking that Jesus is talking. He's not talking about Allah, the false God Allah, or Buddha, or Krishna. He said there's going to be people who think they're doing the God of the Bible. I think about this lady that we talked to yesterday. Basically, she got put out of her church for telling the truth. When it comes down to it, I'm telling you right now, the lukewarm, deceived Christians and the lukewarm, deceived pastors are going to turn you over because you're dangerous. You're dangerous because you won't bow to the system. I've been saying it for years, and it's happening, y'all. It's happening. Just wait till the authorities take over and have to, you need to report such and such if they don't take the booster. Report them. And then these, you know, SWAT team shows up in the middle of the night. And listen, there'll be Christians going, that was good. It's better that they go away. Look, y'all think this is crazy. I have a screenshot on my phone. I had a Calvinist. You know, Calvinists follow John Calvin. They're the ones, that's where once saved, always saved doctrine comes from, John Calvin. And everybody think, he was a great reformer, John Calvin was. No, John Calvin was, first of all, he was a Roman Catholic secret agent. Number two, at best, he only claimed to be saved 1 year when he wrote the Institutes of the Christian Religion, so no novice could write a true doctrinal, correct doctrinal book anyway. But what most people don't talk about when they talk about Calvin, which we got churches that follow John Calvin, like Presbyterian Church. I mean, there's a lot. Baptists will say they're three-point Calvinists. You have all these people. But John Calvin, if you didn't agree with his theology, if you didn't believe his predestination, his limited atonement, all this nonsense, if you didn't believe in his theology and you lived in Geneva, Switzerland at the time, which he ruled with an iron fist, he would beat you, he would torture you, you would be put in prison, and he would even kill you. He had a man named a physician, a Spanish physician by the name of Michael Servetus, disagreed with Calvin and publicly disagreed with him. And Servetus was being sought by the Pope. The Pope wanted to kill him. And he thought he could flee to Geneva and be safe, but Calvin caught him. And when Calvin caught him, he tied him to a stake, and they burned him to death with green wood so it would take longer. Now, this is John Calvin, right? He was a murderer. His writings show he never repented of this, and even doubled down on it, right? So this is what I'm talking about. There are people, this guy was called a Christian. And he had people put to death who didn't agree with his theology. And y'all think it can't happen now? I had this Calvinist come on my page, right? And he said something about, you know, he started dogging me about my theological beliefs and about the background that I come from. And then I clicked on his name and it went to his page, and he said, proudly, I'm a five-point Calvinist. I said, oh, so you believe and follow the man who burned people at the stake, a murderer. He goes, it's okay to burn heretics at the stake. Yes, I have the screenshot. I said, oh, this is a psycho that gets banned and blocked right here. But this guy's a Christian who thinks it's okay if you don't agree with Calvinism that you can be burned at the stake right now today. How about when they think it, you're going to infect somebody? You're going to infect somebody. You're dangerous. That's right. We're a Christian disease. Paul, a pestilent fellow. So I'm going to quit today. Just know, sometimes God is taking some people out so they'll make it. If he leaves you here, then he thinks you're strong enough to handle it and to go through it and to be a light and a witness. Can I say this? We're going to be a light and a witness because as it gets darker, those who really let their light shine unafraid, people are going to run to those people. And so that's why we got to be bold, fearless, and love not our lives even unto the death. You know, if tomorrow they said, hey, if you go to church next week, we're going to kill all of you. You going to stay home? Let me tell you where I'm going to be. In church. You hear what I'm saying? Since when are Christians supposed to be like, I got to preserve my physical life at all cost? At the cost of what? Your soul? No. Love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that means you're willing to live for him and you're willing to die for him. You will not allow anybody, any sin, any agenda, any system, any world government, or anything else to pull you away from your loyalty and your love and your devotion and your commitment to him. Nothing. And those are the only people. And let me just enlighten you. Those are the people that are going to make it to heaven. The ones who bow the knee and worship the beast, submit to the beast, give in to the beast, will not make it. That's just the way it's going to be. Like it or not. Pastor Dean, you're gloom and doom. Guess what? If I got to be gloom and doom for a little while here so we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory for eternity, it's worth it to me. You hear me? I'd rather have a little doom and gloom now and have joy for all eternity then. You know, like Abraham, my eyes are on a city whose builder and maker is God, not what's here. What we do here, everything we do here is just trying to find a way to lead somebody else to the truth of Jesus Christ or protect the innocent. That's our job. That's why I'm running for governor. I don't care about governor. I don't care about the money or the power or any of that. While I'm running for governor, I want to lead people to the truth and try to protect people from the evil people. That's it. There's no other reason. And that should be the reason we do anything. Am I leading people to the truth of God's word, to the truth of Jesus Christ, and am I trying to protect the innocent and the weak? Let's stand. I want to do that song, Your Mercy Goes Much Deeper, Lindo. And we're going to do the whole thing. Sing loud. One more song before we leave. Or go get food, come back and eat, whatever you want to do. This. But this song, the reason I love this song is there's no other place to go. Remember when it said Jesus, is John 6:66, 666, said from that time forth, the people said Jesus was preaching. He said, that's a hard saying. Who can bear it? And it says, from that time forth, many of Jesus' disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then Jesus looked at the 12 and he said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, where will we go? There's nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only way for your sins to be forgiven and to inherit eternal life. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. There is no other Messiah. There is no other religion. He's the only way. So don't let anything turn you away or tear you away or pull you away or lure you away or deceive you away from him. It's not worth it.
Your grace it rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper. Your grace it rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. I reach for you when I'm going under. I wait for you, Jesus, you're my life. Your mercy goes much deeper. Your grace it rescues me. Your mercy much deeper, farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper. Your grace rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. I reach for you when I'm going under. I wait for you, Jesus, you're my life, life. Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Your mercy goes much deeper.
Your grace rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper, farther than I can see. Farther than I can see. Much farther than I can see.
question.
We reach for you. We want you, Lord. We want to know you. We want to be close to you. We want to walk with you. We want to hear your voice. We want to be your sheep, your disciples, your people. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. And it's in your name, Jesus, we will be more than conquerors, overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, because we love not our lives even unto the death. We exalt you, Lord, and we thank you for it. Give us the grace to draw near to you and to stand strong against this evil world. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give him praise. Nowhere else to go. Let me tell you, if you're drowning in the ocean and there's one boat, you better get in it, right? All right, look, y'all know the rule around here. You got to hug some necks before you leave. Let me announce the conference again. We're having the Deliverance Seminar Conference August 7th. Register, go to deanodal.org, and there's a link right there to go register on Eventbrite. So go ahead and do that. More and more people are registering. We're going to have a great time. There it is. Breaking Free. Deliverance Seminar, August 7th. It'll be all day event. We're going to eat there. That's what the little fee is for, your lunch. So no child care. Yep. If you got unruly children, you got to take them out. Train them up. My wife would say, train them up. Yeah. Let's go ahead and say Fire and Grace School of Ministry, if you're looking to enroll, you need to get your application and get it in. The applications are online. There it is right there. Go ahead and fill out your application. Get them in. Get your references out there. Some of you I know don't have church homes. You don't have pastors because you've been run out or you just couldn't stay. That's not a deal breaker if you don't have references, but just get your application in as soon as possible. Tuition is optional. How can you beat that? You can pay it or not pay it. We don't care. Right? Go see if any other school does that one. All right? All right. We love y'all. Love y'all, that our family, church family out there, and those of you here, we love you. And again, I just want to say I can't appreciate y'all more. Your prayers. And also, I'll just say this, please, please be praying for our safety and protection on the campaign trail. I can't announce it all right now, but I was on the phone yesterday with some, let's just put it this way, game changer situation and people and stuff that I'm telling you, when all of this comes out, it's going to change the entire course of this campaign. Even though we're doing good, momentum is good, meetings are good, grassroots support is good. I'm finding out people know about us, and we haven't even done any major advertising yet, which we're about to do that too. But there's just some danger warnings, and especially when I bring forth this individual and this economic plan, it is going to really shake this whole thing up. Yeah, because it's amazing, y'all. I'm telling you, it's amazing. So God is answering prayers, because the Lord told me in the beginning, he said, things are going to happen that are going to help you. And doors are going to open, and people are going to join in. And I'm just blown away by what's happening right now. So just letting you know, good things are happening. The devil's not happy. So So the people of God need to pray. All right. All right. Love y'all. Go get something and come back and let's eat together if you can. All right. God bless.